Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Weeb Weekly. We have an amazing show for you guys today, but I am joined by two beautiful anime lovers that are going to talk a lot about video games today. Mr. Mizu, Mr. Travis, say hello to the people. How are you doing today?
Hello, hello, everybody. Good to be here. Good to see you guys.
Good to see your majestic faces. How are you doing, Mizu?
I'm doing good. Shalom, everyone. Hello.
Shalom. Hello. Hello. It's a high energy day. And of course, before we get into the nitty gritty, boys, let the people know where they can find you.
Please. Yes. You can find me on Instagram at Travis the Sibling and on TikTok at Travis the Sibling.
Yes, sir. Mizu.
You guys can find me on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, all Mizu Shogun. And I want to say a quick shout out to all you guys on my Instagram. I hit a milestone for myself. I hit 8,000
followers.
Let's go. Let's go, man.
IG. I was sitting at 6,000 for like a hot minute until, like, I guess two videos of mine just blew the hell up. And now I'm at 8,000. So
let's
go. I appreciate that.
Love to see it. Love to see it. Dude, that congratulations, bro. Like that.
Thank you.
We all know socials are really wild. So that's a big milestone. Should be celebrated, bro. So and my socials are just at I'm Tropical Joe on whichever platform you can decide to check us out on. But ladies and gentlemen, it is time to start talking about the major amount of news that we got in the past 2 weeks. And of course, it wouldn't be pop culture if we didn't focus on multiple types of media. So the main thing that we're talking about today is the Sony Investor Showcase, where they revealed some blockbuster news of all the projects that are going to get live action and animated adaptations. We have a lot to cover. Gentlemen, I'm going to run down the list, and you guys are going to let me know what, like, your first thoughts. So, Amazon Prime is out here on a tear. They are absolutely the winners, above and beyond the winners of the rights gifting. Not gifting, because they paid a lot of money for them. But yes, the rights fight, Amazon won it, because they're getting God of War, a TV show for God of War, a Fallout project, not sure if it's a movie or a TV show yet, but it apparently is looking to be a series. Mass Effect, a TV series for that. HBO has The Last of Us, with Pedro Pascal playing the role of Joel. And that one, we've already seen clips of that. That seems amazing. Wow. Netflix is coming in hot, because Netflix is getting a Horizon Zero Dawn TV show and a BioShock movie, which is nuts. And then they have Castlevania already and Arcane. So it's the way I see it, it's Prime and Netflix trying to fight it out. Then we also have Twisted Metal, which is being taken care of by Peacock, which has Anthony Mackie in the lead for Twisted Metal. And then Ghost of Tsushima is getting a movie, but we don't know which streaming service is going to be producing it. But Ghost of Tsushima is confirmed to be having a movie. On the Nintendo side, we already know, and Nintendo and Sega, we also know that Sonic 3 is in development, and then we also have the Mario movie. So we have some Nintendo things going on. And of course, Halo was renewed for season 2 in Paramount Plus. Yay! Okay, so let's talk about the other things. Gentlemen, what did you think about the list?
Halo was renewed? Why?
I have no idea, bro. Money. Money.
Wow.
It has to be money.
I mean, but if it's... Are people watching it?
A lot of people watched it just to see if it was good, and like it was just it felt like a purgatory, bro.
It felt like a departure, bro. It does not hold up, in my opinion. I watched it, and I'm not a fan too much of it. But one question I have is,
yes,
is God of War being animated or is it a live action?
Live action. So God of War is live action.
Really? Okay, so that was the biggest thing. When I heard the announcement, I was excited. But at God of War, I was worried about, because I'm like, are they going to do it animated? Because I think personally, it would have worked best animated.
Facts.
Especially you can get away with a lot of the feats that Kratos does.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're doing it live action, then I'm like, granted, I'm still optimistic, but I gotta see how they're gonna do that, though.
Because I totally see that. And like going off of that, I just wanted to like put it up for you guys to understand, like to kind of go through, because like in the past, like mythology content was super like huge, especially in like the 60s, the 70s. It was like Clash of the Titans was one of the biggest movies in the 80s. And so like I would be expecting something like Clash of the Titans in that side of way. But like the series has evolved, right? It's not just like Brawler. It's not just like big monster fighting. There's a huge compelling story about a father and son relationship in God of War. And of course we're getting the game in less than 6 months, like the second game, which is touted to be like one of the best sequels ever. But I wanted to get both of your opinions, like which one of those projects stood out to you the most?
Okay. The Sonic one stood out to me the most.
Okay. Sonic 3.
Sonic 3, the Knuckles spin-off, whatever it is, like that 100% for. I'm here for the greatest video game trilogy of all time. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. It's a beautiful moment. I've played Sonic since I was a kid, and I'm happy that it's getting the love that it deserves. But I'm not the happiest. I think there's certain games that we shouldn't bring to film.
Okay.
Because I feel like there's games, and then there's interactive film. There's certain games that are so cinematic. I'm like, this is a movie that I can just move around in, really. And I feel like if you're bringing them to film, just I feel like it's a reboot. It's in the same vein as a reboot. There's certain games that are like that. It's God of War for me. Mm-hmm. That was a cinematic masterpiece.
Okay,
it had great direction. Whatever, that's a movie. Mass Effect is a movie. That's like a movie you could play. I'm against certain ones getting a film adaptation, but the one I'm most excited about, definitely Sonic.
Okay, Mizu.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because back to like when I said my original question, I was mostly worried a little bit. I'm excited about God of War, but I was only worried because I don't know if it was going to be live action or animated, because I think it'll work best animated compared to Fallout and Mass Effect. If I think they would work best as live actions. I can see them both being live actions and plausible. I mean, if they're doing Halo, I mean, it's Mass Effect around the corner. It can work. Same thing with Fallout.
If they follow the source material, the same.
And then Fallout is, I'll say, a little bit more. I think basically what I'm trying to say is that both of them seem more plausible to do in live action, especially Fallout, since it has that whole rustic, apocalyptic 1950s vibe to it. So I'm down for that. God of War, I was just a little worried because, you know, Kratos does some crazy amount of feats in the stuff that he does and the stuff that happens in there, fighting gods, titans, creatures of all kinds. And it sounds like my next question was, are they going to start it off with him and Atreus from God of War 4? Or are they going to start from the beginning?
That's the big question. We still don't know.
I feel like they would have to start from the beginning. Like, not every... I think this is also a ploy to get more people into the God of War franchise. So I would think that they would have to be starting from the beginning. It'd be a bold move to start, like...
in Ragnarok.
In Ragnarok, that'd be a bold move.
I agree. What were you going to say, Misu?
Oh, I said, yeah. I guess I was thinking the same thing, too. I mean, I can see them kind of getting away with it if they kind of open it up with God of War 4, with him or Atreus, because you could say that it definitely cuts off. Like, it's a whole huge transition from God of War 1 through 3. Like, it doesn't have the same, like, feel to it as the original God of War, because, you know, Kratos is so different. And, yeah, you get nuggets of his past here or there. But I'm not going to lie, if you're a new gamer, I would argue that you could just get into God of War 4 without playing the original games. Because it's that.
Yeah.
Because the plot works for it, and the plot works well with it. And if you, and knowing the previous games is just a little bit more knowledge for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is possible. So I won't be surprised if they do go that route out the gate with him and Atreus. But like you said, you don't know. So we'll just have to find out there. But if they start from the beginning, I want to know what the rating is on this show. Because that the beginning. Dog. It's going to be freaking crazy.
Yeah.
Who's playing Kratos?
That's we don't know. We could have a whole ass debate on who should play Kratos, bro. Because I'm in the Momoa camp. Like Jason Momoa makes sense. Because the thing is that like I've been thinking of like because obviously you want to keep it like close to the source material, I guess. And like for example, you could get a Greek actor to play him, but at the same time, Kratos is that type of hero and anti-hero, definitely anti-hero. That obviously you can choose any race to play him because his ashes, like the ashes of his family, basically make his skin white. So it's like as long as you get him the white skin, like canonically, any race of human can play him. So and of course the gods in all mythologies take on different forms. So that's another topic that we can discuss for a different day because of the Percy Jackson series, which just started filming as well. Like, because people are like always like, oh, it should be like super accurate to the people that like are playing. And I'm like, I agree, especially like for mythologies for a specific region. So for example, if we're talking Egyptian mythology, we should ideally have people of African descent or like or African Americans, let's say, that you can get to play these gods. But at the same time, I am a big fan of having the best person play the role. I don't know, what you guys think.
Oh yeah, absolute facts.
I agree. But
one thing I wanted to say with your pick of Jason Momoa, are you ready to see him bald though?
Right, that's all his power.
Are you ready to see Jason Momoa be a bald man?
He got the beard.
He got the beard. I will give you that. He got the beard, but Jason Momoa bald?
No, it won't save him. That's
save him. You saw, look, let's be honest here. You saw him in Dune without his beard.
Yeah, it was rough.
It didn't work. It didn't work. I was sitting here like, I'm not gonna lie to you. A little side note here: when I was watching Dune, and I saw him in there. I had to think for a second who the hell that was for a second. I was like, who is that? That's Jason Momoa. But my little quick pick would be the actual person who voices him, and especially
Judge.
And actual God of War 4, yeah. Because if you've seen what he actually looked like, this man is jacked.
I agree. The only thing that I would say as a counter argument is he is getting close to like his, I think his 60s, which is like the only issue.
Yeah, he is pushed up age.
Yes, like because I thought like, okay, that'd be fun because like it'd be the voice of him. Yeah, he's 57. And while he does, he has the voice. He has the best voice, in my opinion. And obviously, like, looks jacked. It's kind of like those situations where, like, oh, if the series does well, do we think he's going to be, like, hype to play this monster of a character for, like, 15 more years? Because he did say that, like, doing Kratos, especially in the first game, took a lot out of him, like, mentally and physically because of where he had to... Where he had to go in order to like get those moments of pure like ferocity and trying to like fight for his son. If you see that, I highly recommend that you both see like the making of documentary featurette for God of War, because one of the most important scenes in the game, he's literally like trembling while he's crying, delivering the lines. Cause he's like, yeah, I sometimes go into dark places thinking about his role as a father to his kids personally. And like, he had to stop the interview cause he was just like, that's how deeply meaningful this role is to him. So I'm like, damn, bro. If he's, could you imagine somebody saying, yeah, we're gonna have you doing that for like 10 more years? Are you down to do that till you're 67? I'm like, ugh, rough scenes.
And you know what? That's why my quick pick would be Dave Bautista.
Mm-hmm.
I totally forgot about him. That would work. Dave Bautista.
Perfect.
Fandom put out a graphic like with popular picks to play him, and I would say the best one that looks like looking the part, actually Triple H from the WWE.
I haven't heard that name forever.
They did a rendering of him with the beard, the ashes, the tattoo, and then like the bald head. And I'm like, this dude looks like Kratos. I'm not even gonna cap. Like, Triple H can pull it off. I just don't know if he has acting chops to do it. Mm. Also, another thing, let's see, Triple H, age. These are all like super, like pretty old actors.
Yeah, Triple H is older.
He's 52. He's 52. So it's like, it's kind of roughly the same camp, right?
Not too bad.
So if you're going older, Kratos makes sense because Kratos is older in these sequel games. But if you're going young, Kratos,
No, this is Kratos. No. This is actually crazy. Yeah, I'm looking at it. This is nuts.
show it to Mizu. Wow. Show it to Mizu.
Mizu, look at this.
Oh, wow.
He looks like him.
It's Kratos. It's Kratos. It is.
Crazy.
He looks like him. Like, bro's been training his entire life for this moment, bro.
Yeah, especially if they start off with God of War 4. Like, he already looks like a freaking Viking already.
Yeah,
and man. He has a great voice for it too. Like,
yes, definitely. And he's got the personality to pull it off. Like for the one liners, the quotes, definitely trust him to do that. I just don't know, like, because it's a weird mix. Because Kratos is that weird mix of like hulking monster, like action. Role and then super deep and complex, like stoic person trying to open himself up to the new role of being a father. So that would be my top pick for like the game that I'm most excited for, because like God of War is my favorite game of all time. But I'm gonna give you guys a surprise pick. I think the one that I am most excited for personally, Ghost of Tsushima. Ghost of Tsushima is going to be like nuts, because so the director has already been confirmed, and he said, like, this is one of my favorite games, so he's played the games, obviously. And he said, like, he's heavily influenced by Akira Kurosawa, who is the main inspiration and mentor for, like, George Lucas, for example, who did Star Wars based off of, like, his old samurai movies. And I'm like, Ghost of Tsushima was, again, another single-player storytelling masterpiece, and this is a fun fact for anybody that has played the game. There are multiple modes in which you can play Ghost of Tsushima. You can play it in English with the subtitles and then like just in color, or you can play it in black and white, like it's a Kurosawa movie in English, or you can do Japanese in color or Japanese black and white. So you can literally play it as if it's like a 50s like a Kurosawa movie. And I'm like, bro, if you're able to pull this off well, Ghost of Tsushima could lend itself to start that like elite storytelling for that. So what I want, right, is for these projects to transcend the it's a video game adaptation, right? It's a video game movie or a video game TV show. It's like, no, it's a TV show based on a video game that's just elite. Because if you think about it, Fallout, if you land Fallout correctly, that's like the second coming of The Walking Dead with even more possibilities, because like there's monsters, there's like radioactive lizards, like a Fallout TV show could do well. Mass Effect is essentially like a huge, like grandiose version of like Halo mixed with Star Trek, if you're being picky. I think the one that's going to be the hardest to adapt is probably going to be Horizon Zero Dawn, because Horizon includes a lot of like robots and robotics and she's riding like giraffes made out of like metal part, like it's just like a cybernetic organisms that are like it kind of peaks the uncanny valley, and also there's like augmentations on humans' like heads and arms and stuff like that. So I think the hardest one to adapt would be Horizon Zero Dawn, but again, after hearing what Mizu said, I would love for it to be animated similar to like Love, Death, and Robots style. That would be lit.
Listen, yes. You guys seen Love, Death, the new season of Love, Death, and Robots?
I saw
right?
all of it. It's amazing.
It gave me faith in CGI. Mm-hmm. Like I've never been the first episode. I'm like, I'm if they could do that for Horizons, I'm down for it. Like it looked beyond it looked real. Like actually, like there were moments where I had to remind myself I'm watching CGI.
Yeah, especially with Snow in the Desert. You haven't seen it?
Not the new season, no.
But you've seen the other ones.
I've seen the previous ones. Yes.
Okay. Do you guys remember Snow in the Desert? The one with the man that's like immortal, the one with the white hair, the one that with the really, really crispy CGI. I'm like, if you can pull that off with Horizon, that's literally like that's game changing right there.
Yeah, I agree. Oh,
that'd be so cool. And obviously, like, there's so much. Yeah, Mizu, what were you gonna say?
It's funny enough because I have my question on God of War. I didn't say my God of War was going to be the one I picked.
Though. Okay, Ben. What's your pick?
No. Because the one I picked, because when I heard it, I was like, yes, Yes, yes. I've been on a campaign for this one in particular, and that is BioShock. When I heard that BioShock was getting a movie, I was like, is this... Please don't play with me right now. Are you serious? BioShock, especially if they're going up the first game, has so much potential to be a great movie or even just a TV show. And the fact that they're doing that is amazing. Because if those who haven't played it, that whole concept of the game, it's pretty much about, you know, it's based in the 50s, an underwater city that was supposed to be some type of utopia, but everything goes, you know, left field. And now it's in this whole, it has a mix of sci-fi mixed with horror, mixed with psychological horror. BioShock is freaking amazing. And might just come for someone who's not a big fan of horror-ish games. I don't like playing those kind of games. It's not for me. Until BioShock came to the picture, I was like, oh yes, with the good amount of lore with it. And all the moral questions that it brings up. Oh yeah, it's going to be a banger if done well.
Would you kindly square up?
Yes. Exactly what I thought about that. Would you kindly? Those who are BioShock fans will know what that means.
but I think that's where my real fear is.
Okay.
Is it going to be done? Could we trust them, right? Because with Halo, we were sitting here and we were like, listen, Halo had a plot. If you do it right, it could have went to the moon.
I'm going to just put this in the air. Oh. It is made by Netflix, and Netflix has landed the two best adaptations of video games, at least so far, with Arcane and Castlevania.
True, but Netflix as of late, I mean, right after Netflix as of late, they've just been making wild decisions. They've cut their animation department's funding.
Which is nuts. After Love, Death, and Robots, I'm like, why?
Arcane, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, you venturing into this new anime territory. Why are you going to cripple yourself like this for the thing that's doing the most for you? It doesn't make any sense. So that's why I'm like, I'm iffy on it. You know, Netflix, even though they've had two bangers, it's two out of two. I don't know.
Okay. With that being said, gentlemen, I think it's a perfect time to segue into the Stack 'Em Up because it's based around this question. So you picked which one are you most excited for. Which one do you think is going to be the best? Like the best one out of these? Like, it's a different ball game. Which one do you think is going to be the best adaptation? Which there's a lot of oh my god,
no, but that's such a loaded question, because let's say we think one's going to be good and then we think another one's going to be trash and it ends up being the opposite.
True. But I think there's a good amount of, like, you can guess which one is going to be or which one lends itself to being better for which medium given the one that they have. So I'm doing the random name wheel. Again, let's do a little round of applause from our boy Mizu winning the first one for season two. He absolutely crushed it. You guys crushed it on the voting. We had 3,000 votes again, so thank you guys so much. But y'all gave this man 82% for the best Phase 4 project being Spider-Man No Way Home. We were meddling for scraps, Travis and I. You know, like it was rough, but hey, it was a good choice, Mr. Mizu.
Thank you.
All right, so we are doing the name picker. 3, 2, 1. Boom. Let's see.
Please, come on.
Oh, it is your boy. Okay, perfect. I'm going to be... Oh, my God. I'm going first. Okay, let's see who's second. Who is second?
Come on.
It is Mizu.
Oh, my God.
It is Mizu. R.I.P. R.I.P.
But even then, it's just...
There's so many. There's so many.
Like, yeah. Okay. You know what? I was gonna say. You know what's another one? I'm surprised none of them have got their hands on yet. Is Red Dead. Can you imagine if they did Red Dead?
Yeah.
As a show or movie, I think it worked both ways. Show or movie, that would be insane if they did Red Dead.
Yes.
That is the only one that's like a really cinematic game where I'll be like, that's one I'd actually like to see. Like fully be a show.
And Hollywood likes cowboy movies. Like Hollywood loves cowboy movies.
They do that well.
Westerns.
Yeah, they do it well.
All right. Oh, another one that I forgot to mention, Gran Turismo. If you're a car lover, Gran Turismo is also getting an adaptation. We just don't know which streaming service is going to get it.
A racing game?
Yeah, bro.
Was there a plot to Gran Turismo?
You could take your car out, like, through the city or, like, the specific region you were in. Kind of like Forza had a better story. Because Forza, you could, like, be in, like, Brazil or Mexico or something like that. And you can, like, ride around different areas of the city and, like, go into, like, street racing or actual races, like in a circuit and stuff like that. So that was cool. But that kind of gets itself into the GTA camp. And I'm like, GTA would be amazing as a TV series. I'm not going to cap. But also...
with the group.
Yeah, but like you kind of have to... Yeah, San Andreas, bro. Yes, GTA San Andreas, bro. Oh, shit. Here we go again. Dude.
Wait, but like... So there's no real plot to Gran Turismo. It's just
not
like...
Not really. No.
Okay, but here's the thing. I'll say this. Like, sometimes... Here's the thing. I'll say with that. Sometimes games like that, they can either make or break. They can break terribly because, you know, there's a game with relatively no plot, but it gives the creators enough creative room to form something out of it. I mean, I'll say, look at Arcane. Granted, yes, League of Legends had some lore to it, but it was all choppy all over the place. Some of the characters, like, background was whatever, and then Arcane shows up and then just went off the rails with it to a point where even the people who play the game love it, because even to the point where people actually prefer the backstories of the Arcane versus of the characters than the actual video game. I'm one of them. Victor, if you don't know who that character, Victor in the games is trash. I cannot get behind him. But in the show, I was like, I love this version of Victor. I love these versions of the characters. I want them to reflect that. And a lot of people, surprisingly, you know, the League of Legends fandom is freaking toxic as hell. And they agree that, oh yeah, Arcane is great. They should bring those stories over here. And so I think there's potential when you have games that have very vague plots. But again, it's a mixed bag because it could either break it terribly, catastrophically, or it could do something magical.
Me too. That was a fantastic example, man. Sorry to cut you off.
No. What I was gonna say is, like, Mizu, like, just go picking off the back of that, like, let's just appreciate the fact that Netflix took the most toxic fandom and united it to the point that everybody's just like, yes, we want more, we all love this. And then Paramount took the most diehard fandom in Halo and just put them all against this show. It's just like, no! Kill it with fire! It's already dead! No! it's crazy to think that, like, that can be the effect, right? Of these, because these games have a lot of rich storytelling already made. Just, like, you don't have to follow it, like, line by line, but come on, like, if the showrunner, if the director, if the, like, writers haven't even played the game, I'm like, or not even, like, playing the game, like, you don't even have a consultant that has played the game writing the story, it's like, dog, that's kind of a red flag. I don't know.
Watch the YouTube cutscenes. I'm like, you could go on YouTube and watch cutscenes of the thing, like, okay, this is the general gist of the game. Let's turn it into a movie,
bro. If you take a weekend, and you go, like, if you look up God of War video game movie, which is just like the cutscenes without any of, like, the major gameplay, that'll still be like 15 hours. That's less than a full season of like Law and Order or something like that. Like, it's I mean, you can just enjoy it. But then again, we are digressing. The question for the stack 'em up is simple: which of the video game adaptations that we have already do you guys think is going to be the best? I could go with my favorite one, but I am putting my another one we forgot. Resident Evil is getting a Netflix show. Yes, that's another one. We don't know. I don't. Well, let me see. Sidebar. Yes, because that's important. Okay, Resident Evil. There's a lot of suspense for this one. Netflix series. So we saw the first teases for it. Let me see what it. Okay. Because we already have the trailer, but nothing like that. Okay, both halves followed. Okay, so I think it's a different character inside the Resident Evil world. So it's just like a different set of characters in Raccoon City, which could be nice. But, like, there's people, like, the Umbrella Corporation is there, But the main characters are Jade Wesker, played by Ella Balinska, and then Albert Wesker, her father. It's basically like a father-daughter relationship while they're trying to survive Raccoon City with Umbrella Corp on the Ashgrove. So I'm like, I don't know how I feel. But my pick, going off the zombies vibe, I think the best adaptation is going to be The Last of Us. Wow. I think the best one is going to be The Last of Us on HBO. At least from what I've seen in a couple of like the on-set videos, they are literally adapting some of the coolest cinematic scenes and gameplay parts of the games. And I trust Pedro Pascal with my life after The Mandalorian. And I know that they're starting from the beginning, right? They're not starting from Last of Us Part 2, which is hugely polarizing. So I think it makes sense to give it that benefit of the doubt and be like, okay, HBO, in my opinion, does zombies particularly well. We've seen what they can get to scale-wise in terms of Game of Thrones. Because the White Walkers are essentially like zombie. They're just zombies. So. Yes. So I think visually and tonally and story-wise, it's going to be a more mature adaptation, not necessarily something that's like a video game show. It's more going to be like an actual zombie survival show, which I know we have a lot of those, but The Last of Us offers a cool story that is one of the best. It's one of the best story games of all time. So I'm going to give my pick to The Last of Us. Mizu, what's your pick? Which one do you think is going to be the best adaptation out of these?
At first, I just want to say that's a good pick, especially when I heard that Pedro Pascal is behind it too. I'm like, oh yeah, that I could see that going far. Of course, and you brought it up. The one thing that might change people is if they, you know, adapt The Last of Us Part 2, like you said, because it's very polarizing. Oh man, the backlash on that one is crazy. But maybe they can fix it up a little bit. Who knows? They may actually improve upon it. You never know. But just like you, I could go a different route, but I'm going to go with what I'm passionate about. And the one I would say that could be an absolute banger is BioShock. BioShock, you know, again, a lot of people have been waiting, especially BioShock fans, have been waiting for a BioShock movie or a TV show for a long while, because a lot of us believe that it could be adapted into that and it would do amazing. Especially, again, if you're into that, you know, kind of, you could say a post-apocalyptic underwater city that is filled with nothing but, you know, people hyped up on this drug called Atom, and they are out of their freaking minds. You got some people who are trying to get out of there and, you know, start a resistance movement. You got the creator of the city, Mr. Rapture himself, Mr. Ryan.
Andrew Ryan.
Andrew Ryan. And trying to get all of that together, I think that it would do wonders, especially if they go off the first game. I think it will work best if they do the first game. Though I love the second game a little bit more, but I don't know how they're going to, you know, translate, you know, the Big Daddy. And that's the name of the scuba men. Or cyborg, whatever. We still don't even know what the hell they are, to be honest.
Like a cyborg companion, let's just say.
Cyborg companions, and of course the little sisters. Oh my god, that would be amazing. But I would say BioShock could be a bigger. Who's doing it? Was it Netflix? You said
so. It's going to be a Netflix movie. Horizon is doing a show. Netflix is doing a movie for BioShock.
Wow. And I think it'll be a little bit more plausible too, compared to like, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn with all that CGI and all that robotics. Mm-hmm. Well, you can, you know, set it underwater. You can, there's ways you can get around that and do some cool camera angle tricks and stuff like that. So especially, again, the overall plot of it is amazing. And especially if you never played the game, it's such a treat to watch. So my pick is BioShock.
Oof. Travis, you have a lot of options.
Yeah.
You have a lot of options.
And they all don't even matter, because there's only one. There's only one that I think guaranteed is going to take it home, and that is Sonic.
Okay, Sonic 3.
Sonic 3. Sonic Sonic 1 and 2, the most profitable video game movies of all time.
Factual.
Happiest. The fandom overall is the happiest that they've ever been with any other video game property. When we talk about the note they left off on in Sonic 2 and what they're about to... I mean, they've proven already that this director is not just a director. He's a fan. He was such a fan. He did something we've never seen before where he delayed the movies just to get it right, just so the fandom could love it. And it was a good bet. It's a good bet. The amount of Easter eggs that are in it, the way that they tied in so many of these different games, like Sonic Adventure, the way that they tied in Sonic Heroes and so many other Sonic properties. It's unbelievable what they've accomplished. So I have the utmost faith that Sonic 3 is going to be a home run. It's definitely, I think there's a chance, a gamble, that other things are going to be deeper, like maybe Ghost of Tsushima. The way you described it sounds nuts. But what they're going to do for Sonic 3? Who we're going to see without spoiling anything? Who we're going to see? Nah, man. It ain't nothing.
The movie's out on DVD. You can spoil it already.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. Yo, Shadow?
He's that man. He's that Shadow guy.
Come on. We have the team now, Knuckles, Tails, Sonic. We're gonna learn way more. We could possibly learn way more about the echidnas now, especially since Knuckles is gonna get his own spin-off thing. Mm-hmm. It's gonna go off. Because it's a legacy show, last thing. Because it's a part of a legacy, there's so much more hype and there's so much more that is going to be delivered, I think, emotionally, that I don't think the other ones are going to compare.
One question that I have on that one. Okay. So let's close out the stack 'em up and keep the flow going. So again, you can vote for the stack 'em up on my Instagram. I'm Tropical Joe. We love your support. Thank you guys so much to anybody watching us and listening to us. Thank you guys so much for downloading the pod. You guys have absolutely crushed every single one of the votings. And that helps us a lot, you know, trying to decide what topics to cover for the stack 'em up, because you guys seem to love the debates around it so much. So thank you guys so much. We will be posting this as soon as the episode goes live on my Instagram stories, and then you can vote for whichever one you want, which one is going to be the best video game project, video game live action adaptation project, or animated. You could have chosen Arcane, but we're going to give you our best three. So we got BioShock, the movie produced by Netflix, The Last of Us, the TV show made by HBO Max, and then we got Sonic 3, made by, I think it's a Paramount. Paramount, I think is the one. Yeah. Paramount. Yeah, they have the Sonic rings. Yes, a Paramount. Going off of that, I wanted to ask you, because I think we covered it once, like vaguely in one of the other episodes, but Jeff Fowler, who's directed the first two games, publicly said that he wants to make a Smash movie. He wants to direct a Smash movie. And I'm like, ooh, this is very interesting, because I'm just looking at the list of franchises that we have here, and I'm like, the fact that we don't have live-action projects for these is nuts, but if you think about it, Castlevania's already there. Solid adaptation. Pokemon, the anime movies tend to be hit or miss, but it's overall, the animes have had a solid reception. But dude, Animal Crossing, Zelda doesn't have one, bro. Zelda has one from the 80s, but we still don't have a good Street Fighter one. Kirby, Metroid, dude, Metroid itself.
Yo,
Metroid would be
I hate that you brought that up, because now I'm angry that, yo, why haven't we gotten a Metroid movie, or at least a show?
Because we're getting a Mario one. We are getting a Mario one, but I don't think it's going to be like that big of a thing. It's going to be like Garfield, I think. I think it's going to be like Garfield style, but they could prove me wrong. Would you guys like to see a Smash movie?
Absolutely. And Jeff Fowler is the perfect person for it.
Yes.
Perfect person. So what I was actually just looking up, because I forgot the name of it, but in Brawl, there was, in their story mode, there was something called Subspace Emissary.
Yeah.
That to me was the best story mode game in the entire Smash franchise. It was so interesting, and even though no one had any verbal dialogue, it was this very interesting kind of journey where you're seeing all of these characters stumble upon each other, and it interacted and flowed really nicely, in my opinion. And if he did something like Subspace Emissary, brought that to life, or honestly, at this point, I would take whatever he does. Like, whatever decision he goes, I will follow this man into the sun. Like, I think he's earned it.
And I agree. But, oh, sorry, Mizu, you were going to say something?
I was going to say that if you brought that idea up to me maybe like a year or 5 years ago, I would have been like, hell no, that's not going to happen. That's possible. But we got, hear me out with this one, we got Space Jam 2, granted, bad. But the ability that they were able to put all that IP in different versions, whether it would be 2D, 3D, all in the same movie like that, was plausible. And then, of course, if you haven't seen it already, the Chip and Dale movie on Disney Plus.
So good.
Freaking, after seeing that too, I'm just like, so now you're saying the possibility of a Smash movie. And I'm like, oh yeah, that could work. I can see that happening now. I can absolutely see that happening. Especially, it all depends on the characters that they get in there. It could work. And now, especially if they had, like, you know, if you, like, they use actual Sonic, the Sonic that we know, like, wouldn't it be cool if they actually use the Paramount movie Sonic and he gets wrapped up into this? It will be a cool kind of connection in a way. But it all depends on if they're all owned by the same IP, though. Whoever company is running it. And they all have different companies running it.
Yeah.
Then there's that whole trouble. But I don't know. It could work. I definitely agree. It could work.
I feel like as long as Nintendo gives the okay. Because, like, I mean, Nintendo did give the okay for Mario. Like, I mean, just the fact that we're getting a Mario movie is after the one that we got in the 90s. Like, I mean.
No, because just... the reason I'm saying that is because I'm thinking really huge is that Nintendo puts out, you know, Sonic, the Sonic movies, and then instead they're doing the Mario movie.
Yeah.
And let's say if they did do an Animal Crossing show, a little show for people who like it, and another thing for Zelda. What if they all got from those different like those parts, and they all put them all in the movie together?
Bro, what if they do Detective Pikachu? What if we get Ryan Reynolds' Detective Pikachu as the Pikachu game?
That would be.
No, Mario, no.
This could be Avengers Endgame level if they do
That's
it
what
right.
I'm saying.
You're right, yeah.
Those are the most profitable franchises of all time, just like, period. I mean, like, the Pokemon is the most popular thing on the planet, like, in terms of money every year. Yeah. So,
do you guys... I looked up the number. You guys know that Pokemon made $110 billion.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I try to compare, like, if that's all the money, if you took all the money of the MCU, and you took all the money of Harry Potter, all of it, theaters, books, all of it, you put it together, that's not even half. That's not even half of what Pokemon made alone. It's wild.
Dog, think about it. Like, you pull a Charizard, like, I mean, if, like, just the fact that you need to pay thousands of dollars just to get a pack, but think about it. If you have a card from, like, when you were, like, 5 years old, you could pay your entire tuition and your brother's, like, at the same time with the money that you get from one trading card. Like, that's how popular it is, right? And so that's what I'm saying. Like, a Smash movie would be a hit, and it would also add that layer of storytelling because for those of you that have played the story mode, the game director, Masahiro Sakurai, he's put himself basically his experience dealing with these characters in the game, because like the hand, like the hand is like, which is the final boss, is technically like him. It's the person that's like writing and creating all of these characters, like fighting together, created this franchise that has been like loved and beloved for like decades now, but still is like a haunting thing for somebody that's like, oh, this game has just gone like beyond the scope of like, oh, I just made a video game that people like. It's just that like, I'm officially always tied to a project like this. And like, it would be interesting to see like Masahiro just like writing, like sketching out something. And then the book comes to life. Let's say like the book comes to life of having all these characters like pop to life. And he's like, how does he deal with like this actually being real, with Smash being real? And I'm like, that seems like a compelling story to me. I don't know about y'all.
No, that's good. That's good.
You see, they should hire me. They should hire me, bro, because I've played the games. Paramount. Halo. But yeah, it do be like that. I feel like there's just so much we could talk about just with these like game adaptations, because I mean, we still even haven't touched the fact that like Arcane is getting a second season. And Castlevania, yeah. And Castlevania is still going on. Like, I mean, I don't even know where to begin with those two.
Yeah, so Castlevania has been greenlit for another season. But here's the thing. It's not going to be the same group of people or even the same time period. It's going to be a different time period, a different group of them. I believe it's going to be based off of the main character. I've already forgot his name. The main character.
Richter. Well, no, not Richter.
Trevor
Belmont. It's going to be based off his grandson, I believe.
Cool. Oh, yeah, Richter. Yeah, exactly. People that we see in Smash. Yeah.
Yep. And wait, it's going to be
Richter's his grandson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay, this is awesome.
So
okay.
That's going to be around that. And then Arcane, I can't wait. Arcane was such a. It was so random. It came out of nowhere. League of Legends having its own show. And especially the way they ended it. I need to know what happens next. Because now I'm so interested in the politics of all this stuff and what Jinx just did. I'm like, bro, Jinx is... Like, and I hate to say, I'm like, yo, Jinx is being a Jinx. What the hell?
Yeah.
We had so much progress and now it's going down the drain.
I was scared for a while that they were going to cancel it after they...
For real?
After they did the chops to the animation department. Yeah. But I'm so happy it's coming back.
If they cancel Arcane, like, that is the biggest, fattest L I've ever seen. Yes. Bro, I'm not gonna lie.
But Netflix has taken L's like this. Like, when they canceled, oh my god, we could just have a whole podcast about the stuff they've canceled that is like, are you crazy? They've canceled, they canceled Sensei. That was nuts.
Oh.
Sensei, yes!
Yeah, they canceled Sensei. And then it took pure audience power to bring back a movie. They didn't even bring back a season, and they kind of crammed a season into a movie, but whatever. They canceled Get Down. Oh my god. They've canceled so many bangers. Like, so if they canceled Arcane, I'd kind of just be like, yeah, they suck.
Another L.
Another L.
I'll be like, yeah, like, you were never you're never getting me back with that. That's an L. That's a huge L.
I feel that. I would love to see. I would love to see. Like, now that we're talking about that, like, I would love to see another Pokemon movie. Like, I know that Detective Pikachu technically is not like that. So that rendition of the Pokemon universe makes sense, because like, that's what I want to see. I want to see people interacting with their Pokemon and like having them be a part of their life. And you can discuss so much, but bro, just like the fact that the anime has discussed the ramifications of like ultimate power of like super mega corps trying to like exploit Pokemon, that's something that like makes sense, especially in our society. Like, what if the billionaires of the world decided to get legendaries? I'm like, everybody would be screwed, bro. Like, that's a storyline that like can bring a lot of people to the theater, besides the fact that it's like the most famous franchise on planet Earth right now. Like, Pokemon Go had people like jumping off of bridges just to find a Snorlax, bro. Like, it's crazy. Like, dude, it's nuts. People were running through the streets like trying to find special Pokemon. It's nuts.
Go ahead,
here's the thing, which is sad though too. It's kind of hard to mess up Pokemon. So when it's like Pokemon, you can even make a good story even without Ash. Like, there's some stories that don't involve Ash that are great. So I don't know, like, Pokemon is like, there's so many games like what we talked about earlier that are just so easy that it's just impossible. Like, you have to be really trying hard to mess this up. And Pokemon to me is one of them. Like, it's really easy that you can easily get together. It's all about, you know, you can base around either Ash or not Ash, just characters just existing in a world where Pokemon exist. And, you know, like what Jose was saying, you can have one where you can center around a character, just want to catch Pokemon, train, be the best that they can be. And of course, you can bring up the whole people trying to exploit them and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, there's so many interesting stories that you could do with Pokemon that could work and work very well. It just all depends on how you write it. And it's just, I don't know, I just can't see it being difficult to do, in my opinion.
I feel like what would take the franchise to a whole nother level is the new, if they adapted the newest Pokemon game to screen, the one that's about like the origin where you have
Arceus. Yes. Yeah. Oh, like yes,
that would be cool.
Oh my god, that would be so nice. Sorry, I just got really excited when you said that. I was like, bro, that's a lot.
No, because like even when you were describing it, I feel like the one thing that we've never gotten in Pokemon media isn't a fleshed out origin of like the whole thing of like Pokeballs and all of it. And if we had that, like, that would be amazing. I feel like so many people know Pokemon, but so many people don't really watch it like that. Like, they'll play the games maybe, but it's been such a long lasting franchise. Some people are kind of just like, eh, you know, whatever, too much to get into. But if we had like an origin of just Pokemon in general, I feel like that'd go to the moon.
Agreed. And speaking of big franchises, I think we could start talking some Star Wars, because there's a lot of stuff to cover in Star Wars land. So for those of you that don't know, what's happening right now is Star Wars Celebration, which is basically a mega convention. Imagine Comic-Con just for Star Wars. So this is where Disney unveils everything, absolutely everything. They have panels with all the actors. They revealed Kenobi. They dropped Kenobi 2 hours early, which is absolutely nuts. Like, they dropped it earlier. And we have a ton of projects announced. There's movies, there's TV shows. We saw the trailer for Andor, like the Cassian Andor TV show, which looks really, really good. But the main ones that I wanted to talk about were three projects in and of themselves. So John Watts is making a coming-of-age Star Wars series called The Skeleton Crew, focused on children during the post-Return of the Jedi reconstruction of the Empire. So what it has been compared to is kind of like the Stranger Things of Star Wars.
So okay.
So The Simpsons meets The Goonies meets Stranger Things within Star Wars, which is cool. John Watts knows how to do it. So I'll take that. The other one that I wanted to, oh, and also Jude Law is going to be in that. So that's fun. Star Wars Visions coming back, another anime series. Solid.
Yes, sir.
And then the third one being Tales of the Jedi. So I have more. I have five things from that show that I wanted to share with you guys. So bear with me. So Filoni is going to have his hands all up on this one. He's developing the series with Favreau. So Ahsoka Tano is going to be in it as a child. We're going to see baby Ahsoka Tano. Count Dooku is going to be in his youngest form. So we're not going to get, unfortunately, Christopher Lee voicing him. Unless they do some of that archival footage play around thing. But he's going to be training his Padawan, Qui-Gon Jinn. We're going to see the young version of Qui-Gon Jinn voiced by Liam Neeson's son. And Liam Neeson will also be in that show. We're going to see a young Mace Windu in Tales of the Jedi. And I'm super hyped for that, because we've been wanting some Mace Windu content. We've been starving. And then the other main thing that I found really cool is that the Ahsoka portions of the show are going to be centered around Ahsoka's mother dealing with a Force-sensitive child. And Ahsoka's mother will be played by Janina Gavankar, who was the main character in Star Wars Battlefront 2. So she plays the main. So she's the lady that plays the main character in Star Wars Battlefront 2. So she's going to be playing she's going to be playing her mother. And from what we've seen in the official Star Wars website, the shorts are going to be rooted in traditional storytelling, heavily inspired by Japanese animators, especially Hayao Miyazaki. So we have a possible banger in our hands. But which one of those captures your eye or captures your ear from the ones that we've saw? Visions, Tales of the Jedi, Skeleton Crew, There's been other shows. There's Andor. And then obviously the last one on the list is the Taika Waititi Star Wars movie, because he's going to be having the next Star Wars movie in 2023. It's a Taika Waititi film.
Wow. Oh, wow.
If you're watching us, Travis just had like a moment.
Taika Waititi is a genius, first and foremost. So amazing. But I'd have to say, even though those all, especially the Taika news, that sounds amazing. Star Wars Visions.
Yes.
I'm over the moon. One thing I was really hoping for in a Star Wars announcement was one of those shorts being pitched as a long-lasting show. It's all of them had the potential for it, but
The Ninth Jedi? The Ninth Jedi was my favorite.
It would have been it had the groundwork. It could have worked. It really could have. I'm still hoping they do that, you know, sometime down the line. But this new batch of vignettes that they're going to do, I am over the moon about it.
Yes. And then Mandalorian season 3, we have so much. Mizu, what did you think?
So, I'm not going to lie, I originally was going to say Star Wars Visions, but when I heard the announcement of the Tales of the Jedi, there's so much potential in that, in my opinion. Because what I heard about it is that it's going to be an anthology series about different Jedi that we've known. And of course, we're getting a young Count Dooku when he was a Padawan, or when he was younger, and now he's going to be training a young Qui-Gon Jinn and stuff like that. Mace Windu. But no, I was thinking bigger. I was talking to my brother about it. And my brother brought up a good point. He was like, wouldn't it be cool if I don't know how long it's going to be, but like half the episodes are related to Jedi that we already know, Mace Windu, all that stuff. But the other half would be Jedi that we never heard of. Jedi that were well known in the Star Wars canon that they could bring to canon on Disney Star Wars. Like, for example, I was like, yeah, that is facts, because there are some interesting Jedi who definitely need at least an episode dedicated to them. Like, one of them is this, not even just Plo Koon. I'm talking about ones that are not like well known that are so interesting. Like, for example, I don't know her name, but there's a Jedi who she was so good at the Force that she was known to never wield a lightsaber, because in her opinion, that a lightsaber, because the Jedi are peacekeepers and they are monks. So to her, having a lightsaber goes against the way of the Force. So she never wielded a lightsaber, and she dedicated her whole life learning how to use the Force. And she was so good at it. Granted, this is pre-Disney purchase. Mm-hmm. And her in that canon, she was able to live up to Luke's era. And she's and she was so good at it. And then at some point, she sacrificed herself for the greater good after the Return of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker, and saved his life. So yeah, like her alone, like that alone should be an episode. Or the fact that there is what's his name? Or we could have an episode about the first Jedi to fall to the Sith, to the dark side.
Oh.
See the first Jedi who went the other path and started this whole beef for literally centuries. Like stuff like that. I'm like, there's so much potential with Tales of Jedi that, of course, I am happy that we're getting these stories with our, you know, young characters that we already know. Or even better, I even pitched one to my wife. Like, wouldn't it be cool if we had an episode about this unknown Jedi that we just see him go, like see him or her go through their Jedi stuff? And the entire time they talk about, they're Padawan. The Padawan that we're looking forward to. I'm looking forward to training as Padawan. Goes through the whole motions. But at the end of the episode, we realize that the Padawan that he's talking about, or he or she is talking about, is a young Yoda.
Oh.
Think about it. A whole episode dedicated to the master or the person who taught the master.
Dog.
That would be amazing.
That's good, dude.
Dog, you need to get hired. You need to get hired by these. Like, what?
I was sitting here like, bro, there's so many cool ass Jedi. Hell, the librarian from the
True.
From Vision?
The librarian, if you watch the prequels, there's a librarian who's in the Jedi Temple. She's cool as hell, too.
Yeah.
she deserves an episode of her own as well. There's so many cool Jedi that just deserve their own, at least, episode that can work well. And the Tales of Jedi is a great start, for, in my opinion. But that's just me.
I'm on board with everything you said. I do want to see Skeleton Crew. I want to see, like, as soon as I heard, like, Stranger Things of Star Wars, I'm like, ooh, this seems interesting. Because, like, usually Star Wars goes, like, even though it's, like, technically directed towards a younger audience in some cases, it still can go really dark really, really, really fast. I mean, we've seen that. And then we're going to get Acolyte as well, which is based on, like, Sith as well. So we also have Bad Batch Season 2 coming out. They dropped the trailer a couple hours ago. So, like, Travis, which ones do you think are going to be, like, the ones that, beside, like, obviously besides the Taika Waititi one and Visions, do you think are going to have the longest running, like, impact in the franchise?
Oh my God. That's a tough call, man. That's a tough one. The longest, I'm not sure. I feel like the Taika Waititi one, the Star Wars Visions ones, those were the ones, just because of either the director or what I've already seen from them, that I could be like, yeah, I have faith. Mm-hmm. But these other ones are new. I don't know. I don't know how the fandom is going to gravitate to it. I don't know what the voice actors are going to do. It's up in the air for me. I couldn't pick one.
I like that. I'm picking Mando. I'm picking Mando Season 3.
Okay.
I think Mando Season 3 is going to be the biggest one. What do you think, Mizu?
I'm going to say Mando, and then I'm going to say also, again, Tales of the Jedi, because it's not going to do too much repo dance, because it's basically characters that we already know, and we're just getting a little bit more background lore pretty much about them. Stuff that we might not have known and things of that nature. So I see it as a safe bet. Like, oh yeah, this was one that is not going to do any damage. Cross fingers that it doesn't, but I can see that. But I definitely agree with Mandalorian for sure, though, too.
I have a question for you guys. Remember, Disney Plus came out two years ago, right? Right around two or three years ago, right? So we've had very, very little time to explore the possibilities of, like, what a TV show and an interconnected universe could be like, right? Marvel has taken the most benefit, right? By intertwining their shows with their movies. Like, that feels good. But I'm getting the hype that, like, this new wave of Star Wars is going to be really, really fun. Because, like, the TV shows that are coming out, they're all good. And, like, the fact that Kathleen Kennedy, who's the president of Lucasfilm, was like, yeah, the Resistance and the Rebellion are going to be televised. Like, this is a huge push for television media, which is exactly what we've been waiting for. Because, I mean, we've discussed this at length, at how Star Wars lends itself to stories told on and shows and series, because there's so much more exploration that you can have in terms of the character development of your entire world, right? It's a sandbox that you get to play in. And the fact that Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau are directing some of the biggest projects, they have some of the biggest names in acting and directing, like, all of it is on the back of Mandalorian, which, like, shocked the world. It's the flagship for Disney Plus. Like, Disney Plus started because of The Mandalorian, and now they have Kenobi, which is nuts. Travis, we're not going to go into spoilers, but these first two episodes are heavy. The second one did have some pacing not issues, but, like, some people were put off by certain things that happened in episode 2. But we can tell that this is that type of show. It's a full character exploration, and I can't wait till next week, because on Wednesday, I think something big's gonna happen. I don't know. I'm gonna let you guys watch the episodes, and we'll discuss that later. But yes,
How many episodes is Kenobi going to have?
So it's going to have six. So on Wednesday, it's going to be the mid-season finale.
Okay.
So, which is crazy, because, like, it's a limited series, but a lot. I feel like you guys are going to love where this goes, because it's so fun. Have you guys had any spoilers or had anything, like, told to you?
I've seen it. Both of them.
Oh, yeah, but no, but I meant, like, so Travis, what have you heard or seen from the show?
I have only heard screams from how good it is.
Okay.
That is it. Okay. I haven't heard anything else.
So the only thing that I would say is that they take a different approach to the whole, like to Obi-Wan's role as a caretaker in the first two episodes. That is the best decision I think they've made in a while.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it lines up with the comics. Because yeah. There's a whole Obi-Wan Kenobi comic where we see what he was doing while Luke was growing up. And It was so far what I've seen in the show, it looks like it matches up.
Yeah.
It matches up to me at least.
I'm hyped. There's so much to talk about. They also dropped the trailer for Bad Batch. I have to see that soon. Definitely something that we're going to talk about. Would you guys like to talk about some Spy Family?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
So one of the episodes I was looking forward to the most finally came, and that is, I don't know if you guys are up to date, that's the one when we finally meet Yor's brother, Yuri.
Mm-hmm.
And to give a little background for some people, Yuri has a younger brother. Yor has a younger brother named Yuri, and they have been together their entire lives because they didn't have their parents. The parents, we don't know exactly what happened to their parents yet. Even in the manga, we don't know. But Yor had to take care of him. And, you know, she started doing her whole thing, and she's worried about, protecting him and not letting Yuri find out what she actually does. And of course, you know, the whole marriage thing happened, and she forgot to tell her own brother that she got married. And then of course, you know, Yuri, Yuri's one of those love thy sister types. The ones who've seen anime who's really obsessed with their sibling. And to each their own on that. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes I'm just like, you're doing the most. But I would say that Yuri hasn't really pushed that envelope too much yet. I've seen some characters who've gone on the deep end on that. But it was a great episode because Yuri shows up. He's literally trying to figure out, yo, who's this guy? Who's this person marrying my sister? And he said, I'm the one who deserves my sister's love and all that jazz.
Oh, damn. Okay, so we're going through Sweet Home Alabama. Okay, let's go.
No, but here's the thing. So, you know, because she thinks that her brother is so sensitive, so sweet and all that stuff. But little does she know that her brother works for the secret police. Basically, Think of like the KGB of their nation. Like, he gets on people like, he hunts spies. And he's one of those, I'm not gonna lie, what's his name? What's the character's name from Glorious Bastards? The one, I don't want to say it.
Oh, Hans Landa?
Hans Landa. He's like that. Oh, he's really nice to the people that he's interrogating until a certain thing happens, and then we see his dark side. Ooh. And of course, guess who was the person he's trying to hunt now? Twilight, the international great spy, and he's looking for him. And granted, you know, nobody knows what he looks like. So he's in the home there. Twilight's trying to prepare for it. He does the whole, how he calls it the lovey-dovey operation, mm-hmm. where he makes it look like they're a very loving couple and all that stuff. And, you know, like I said, Yuri's there. He's trying to interrogate him, trying to get things out of him. And they're trying to show off how great of a couple they are. And it's so funny. It's such a great scene. It's low-key an intense scene, but also very hilarious at the same time. Like, you see that Twilight deduces that he is a secret spy, a secret policeman and all that stuff. But then Yuri's just sitting here, like, asking weird questions, like, oh, what's the pet name you have for him? Do you call him Lloyd? Lloydy? Loy-Loy? Or something like that?
Loy-Loy?
He said, you call him Lloyd? I can't believe it. He started drinking. He started drinking the sorrows away and stuff like that. He said, no, we're madly in love. And then she spills some wine. They touch hands. They separate. They're like, my bad. And Yuri's just like, hold on a second. Y'all been married for over a year, you say, but you guys are still iffy about touching each other? He's all, something I'm on y'all
fishy. I'm something fishy about this whole situation. How'd you feel about the show, Travis?
I love it. I really love it. And it's when it comes to Yor's brother thing, that's one of my least favorite anime tropes. And I want us to one day just talk about anime tropes we don't like. Because the whole I like my sibling trope is so cringe. It's just I put it up there with the pervy old guy anime trope.
Ugh.
Yeah. So, but I loved it, and per usual, like, this is a show that balances hilarious moments with a actual sense of drama and edge, and it does it so well, where it could be entertaining and both a comfort anime. I love it.
I liked it. I absolutely love it. So I'm not caught up on the most recent episode. I am in the episode right now where, like, we actually meet Desmond, like the target from the like basically the like Twilight's target's son, who's basically like, oh my god, Arya, Anya is like she's playing hard to get. Oh, I like it, cute. And I'm like, this is like an 8-year old boy. Come on, like this boy's like way ahead of the game, way too much. I love that episode. But my favorite episode so far. So okay, so I'm getting the feeling that this is like the equivalent of like the beach episode in most animes, like the castle play yeah. Essentially, I love that episode.
Wow,
the extent at which like Lloyd needs to go in order to get Anya to like feel prepared to go to school because she has excitement in her life because she wants to see Bond Man in real life. I'm like, bro, this is what a true like father would do. Like this is he's falling in love with being a dad, and Yor is kind of getting open into like actually being a mother in the next episode where she's fighting criminals after going to Trader Joe's. Like she literally like turns a watermelon into sticks with her two fingers. I'm like, hey, yo, mommy, sorry. But yes, I love this dynamic. I think the stats just came out. Spy Family is the most watched show in Japan.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Here's the thing. You know what the part's even crazier? It actually got one of the highest ratings for an anime on this specific site. It's kind of like Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb. I forget the name of it. It's like a site that specifically rates and critiques anime.
My Anime List? No? Maybe?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember, but it got an unheard of score of like 9 point something, and to the point where it's like I said, it's unheard of, to the point where some people, you know, start out of nowhere becoming haters. Now they're like, oh no, how did this anime of all anime get such a high score like that? Not even Attack on Titan and others got a score like that. And of course, you know, people are coming out of the woodwork being mad about it. Mm-hmm. And now there's a little trend going on with Anya where they put Anya in different anime or manga where she just shows up there. There's a part where Naruto's getting beat up, and then it's like, oh, we finally got the person we need to save the day, and Anya shows up in the panel. And you already know, so it's like, oh, thank God, Anya's here. Or freaking Jujutsu Kaisen, where Gojo's about to face off against that one demon, but instead of that demon, it's Anya.
Yeah. She wants to go to an ooting instead of an outing. I'm like, bro, I love these, like, those little type of, like, moments. I love it. Absolutely.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. I love those moments the best. And, again, like, and don't get fooled. Like, in future stuff, there's plenty of action. And the part I like the most is that even though this is centered specifically around Twilight himself, we also get to see mission. Sorry, my apologies. Bad cough. We also get to see missions and other stuff, like with, of course, stories around Anya and her adventures at school. First of all, that punch, freaking legendary. I love the way she looked away and I looked at me. People are watching and then just smacked, like, just punched the. Wow. She universal punched that boy. And the part I love the most is that, oh, she punched her, and then Anya's just like, you have no proof. He's like, bro, we all just saw you punch this kid in the face.
Bro, do you guys, like, so the moment where, like, in the castle episode where, bro, Yor starts to fight Twilight's like, I will protect Anya at all costs. And, bro, she's like, yo, she might, like, this woman might kill me. And then at the end, she's like, breaks the heel and then just falls asleep. I'm like, bro, Yor is a menace to society.
And the part I like about that is I won't go into detail because there is a mission that Yor gets that we get. There's a Yor-centered arc.
Okay.
And the mission she does that, to me, is one of the best arcs in Spy Family. It's so fantastic the way they did that. It's very intense as well, because, you know, you got to expect that, especially with Yor, and it's amazing. And I can't wait to see it animated. But yeah, I'm looking forward to more of the episodes and And especially if they're planning on doing any filler-ish, because even the filler in the manga, because they're, you know, mangaka, they take breaks, and sometimes what they do is either they give you a little art, like, okay, here's some art in the meantime, I'm taking a little break, here's a little concept art, or they will give you some short stories. Like, oh, here's some short stories involving characters, and kudos to the mangaka of Spy Family, because this individual, because you know mangaka, they like to keep their identities kind of secret, so I say they, and they did some interesting short stories that I'm even looking forward to the short stories being animated, because they're amazing. But yeah.
Bro, this, I mean, Spy Family broke 17 million copies of their manga. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, they're, it is selling hot. It is hot.
And even doing better digitally, too, because like I said way back that Shonen Jump is testing the waters with going digital. Mm-hmm. And Spy Family and Kaiju Number 8 were the first two like major properties that got hella recognition out the gate when they went first digital, and so much so, as you can see, they got a whole anime, and it's proving more and more that Spy Family is great. And of course, I'm here, and if you're a hater, come on, I'm ready, because I'm going to shut you down, because here's another thing. I got to the logic now in my age that when someone says something that's overhyped, to me, I'm just like, okay, I know it's good. Because if you feel the need to say that, it says something else to me. Granted, yes, there's sometimes where people are valid. Yeah, something is overhyped, I guess. When oftentimes people say that, I'm like, oh, it's pretty good. It must be pretty good. Because if you feel this need to say that, then it must be freaking amazing. So, and people are doing that right now. It's my family. Fantastic.
Except with Halo. That is overrated.
Not with Halo.
That was overrated. Facts. Come on, Travis. I can't go without taking a dig at, like, I mean, if you're not doing it right, we have to let you know. I mean, we did that with Warner.
Well, listen, I'm all on board for that, especially with Halo. 100% on board. Like, no, that's
how
why I'm
messed that up.
Yeah, it was so good. There was so much going for it, and you drove it in off a cliff for no reason. And again, that's why I'm worried, man. Not to you know, go back to that topic that we covered earlier. I'm scared. There's so many properties on the line that we love, that they know have our that have a really deep franchise, really beloved, really invested franchise. And sometimes it's such a cash grab. It's scary. Where, like, they know that, hey, it's just a big name, and we know that we'll get a good cash out. That's what happened with Avatar: The Last Airbender. And initially, the creators of Avatar: The Last Airbender, Brian Konietzko and Michael DiMartino, they were promised by Netflix to be the showrunners of the show. Total creative control. Worked with them for 2 years, and then didn't listen to them, ignored them out of nowhere, and then they had to make a whole list of being like a note being like, look, like, we work with them, and they just wanted to do whatever they wanted with our property, with like the thing that we created,
which is nuts. Which is nuts,
dude. But you know it's bad when, I know this is an absolute crash grab, because if the creators of the freaking show left and you're still doing it,
yeah,
you don't care about the series at all. You don't. Or the fans, or anything like that.
But sometimes, and you know, the scary thing about this one is that so many people are going to watch it anyway. That Avatar Last Airbender live action, they heard this news, it went viral everywhere, and people are like, I'm going to still see what it's about. And that's what they're counting on. You know, like, it just gets me angry.
The thing is, with the binge model, if it's bad, people will let you know ASAP. That's the only thing. Like, people will watch it, because obviously, like, you watch it and you finish it all to try to see if it actually, again, Netflix has its binge model. I think there has to be a point, right, where things have to, like, stop. If the project is bad, we should let the companies know, right? Because these are properties that have rich stories already. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. You can change some aspects. Like, for example, with what we've heard about Attack on Titan, about possibly changing the ending or something like that. Like, okay, like we're willing to give some things a shot, but keep the overall meat of the story, but at least consistent in some way. You can change the dialogue, but like, for example, what they did with Assassin's Creed, I'm like, yo, what? Like, bro, you have like look at me. So, yeah, bro, what they did with Assassin's Creed, like, dude, Michael Fassbender couldn't save that project, bro.
Yeah,
absolutely livid at what they did. That was one of the other series that up there with Bioshock with me that I was like, oh yeah, if done right, Assassin's Creed could be great, especially as a show. I don't know about a movie, but a show, it could have worked fantastic, especially as an anthology series. And then you did that.
Because think about it, bro, you can cover the French Revolution. We've covered just by like just with the games. Oh, I think my camera went off, but it's fine. French Revolution, the American Revolution. You can cover pirates. You can cover Vikings. There's rumors that you could do samurai. You've covered ancient Egypt, ancient Greece. Like, bro, there is so much to cover. There is no reason for this. No reasoning.
And the way they even incorporated gods in the whole Assassin's Creed, the way they made it work, I was like, this is brilliant stuff. It's sad. It's so sad when there are studios and producers that can be so money hungry that they get in the way of the product that they want them to make money. Like, you could, it's just frustrating.
I know. I definitely agree with that. It's like when, especially when you said about money, Grandma. Look, here's the thing. I get that you got to make money. You got to, of course, because it's going to take money to make what you're doing. So I get that. But at the same time, you still got to keep in mind about who this is for, especially if you're doing it based off of something that people love, like a video game or a TV show. You're going to be adapting in a different way. You got to pay attention to that. Okay, hey, guys, we have a dedicated fan base of people who love this video game that we're going to adapt it into a show. So we need to keep in mind that we need to be doing good because they can get on our ass.
Facts.
Or just anything, just in art in general. Because I feel like, again, I get that you have to make money, but you also still got to keep art in mind. You're making art. Video games, movies, TV shows, they're all forms of art. And you should have that as your first, and then the money will follow. And that's the thing, at least that's what me, I'm just like, yo, if you do it with dedication and care about the art form that you're presenting, the money will follow. It always does. But,
you know, I feel like the money follows, but the money, I guess, doesn't follow in excess. Like, if we look at Red Dead Redemption 2, right? I think Red Dead Redemption 2 is arguably one of the greatest video games ever crafted, just at a technical level.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people have revisited the game, and even years later, the way it holds up is astounding. Like, you could look at people working on a railroad, mm-hmm. and they're actually, like, hitting in the nails. The detail is astounding with it. But when you look at that, it kind of broke even. Like, they spent hundreds of millions of dollars making it, and then it made hundreds of millions of dollars, but not much more mm-hmm. than they put into it, if I'm remembering the numbers correctly. So I feel like their goal is to get stupidly rich, not just get a little rich, and that's annoying.
I feel that. The other thing that we have to keep in mind is that, like, the streaming wars are in full effect.
Yeah.
Like, if you fail as, like, one of the legacy ones, like, let's say HBO or Netflix, bro, there's a lot of competition. Peacock, CBS, Paramount, Apple TV. The fact that the Best Picture winner was an Apple movie instead of a Netflix original, that has to hurt.
That is, like, Netflix has been trying so hard to be the first streaming service to get an Oscar, and it was outdone by Apple TV. I was expecting, like, Disney. I'd be like, okay, Disney, okay, that makes sense. HBO Max, okay, no lie there. It's HBO. Uh-huh. But Apple TV did it. Wow.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, if BioShock does it well, it could get nominated. Like, and it would deserve it, right? And just because it's a video game movie, it might get, like, some pushback. But think about it. Like, when it comes to projects of this magnitude, the money will follow in terms of... Yes, the money will follow. Yes, you could break even. But, bro, the legacy that you build is just way more important. Perfect example, Everything Everywhere All at Once. A movie that had $25 million in budget and made it look better than Black Widow. Bro, it looked like Interstellar. And it had so much against it, bro. They did it in like 39 days, the entire film. It's like... It's legitimately one of the best films of the last decade, and I'm like, you can just make good content, aka good art, or something that has a lot of soul and effort into it. The rest will follow. If the fans know, oh, they took their time to try to make this as good as it could be. Don't cut your corners and don't try to like rush it. If the previous 5 or 10 years have told us anything, is that like, rushing a project is a clear sign of failure. And the fact that you, for example, one thing that you mentioned, Sonic, the fact that the studio delayed it for over 6 months to try to get the CGI to where the fans expected it to be, and it became one of the best video game adaptations ever, is a testament to the fact that actually. Following feedback and actually putting in effort yields results.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Boom.
But you know, when it goes to the awards, I actually really wanted to quickly touch on that.
Yes, yes, yes.
I do think that the Academy has something against Netflix, because there's some Oscar-worthy stuff on Netflix. We drag Netflix. It's warranted. But they have, there's a couple, like
Beast of No Nation.
Harder They Fall.
Beast of No Nation was amazing too.
Beast of No Nation deserved it, man. Idris Elba, come on. Like, there's properties there that really should have gotten it. But I think if anything, it must have come down to just something else. That's all I could think of. Like, maybe money, maybe connections, whatever.
Agreed. I think the best way to leave you guys in a hopeful note is that there's a lot of stuff to be excited for. But again, as the great Zendaya said in Spider-Man No Way Home, just keep your expectations low and you'll never be disappointed.
True. Beautifully said.
That's fantastic.
Beautifully said.
Zendaya.
The goat. With that being said, thank you guys so much for listening, watching, downloading the podcast. Thank you guys so much. We will be back at it very, very soon. And you can watch this, watch the clips on YouTube and download the podcast on our Spotify or wherever else you want to consume your content. Boys, do you want to say goodbye to the chat?
Absolutely. Take care, everybody. Please check us out everywhere. Check out the podcast on YouTube. Check it out on Instagram for the shorts. We really can't wait to see you guys.
Absolutely. We appreciate all of you for downloading, listening, whatever, how you consume it. We appreciate all of you guys, and we can't wait to keep doing this with you.
Amen to that. As always, we will see you on the next one.